One of the things that we've noticed over the sequence of studies that we've done in the book of Proverbs is that Solomon deals with a lot of attitudes, with a lot of our approaches to circumstances in our life. If you remember, Solomon begins the first several chapters of this book as he speaks to his children. My son, my children. Well, beloved, we understand that God speaks to us in that same way, that He speaks to us as His sons. We are the many brethren who are siblings in Jesus Christ, if you would. Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren. We are His children. We are God's children through Jesus Christ. Heirs and joint heirs with Him. He speaks to us, and He speaks to us glorious things of truth. He speaks to us the marvels of His grace and the hope of our salvation. But folks, God deals with the nitty-gritty of our attitudes in life as well. Our satisfaction comes in fashioning our attitudes in line with the wisdom of God. Now I want you to look with me tonight at a subject that is perhaps one of the attitudes with which as many of God's people as any other attitude are discontented with. How do you feel about the subject of work? How do you feel about the subject of riches? Well, I don't want to work so hard and I ain't got very many riches. And very often, we find our attitudes being governed more with our complaints and of our feelings of lack than of the reality of the design that God has. Maybe perhaps one of the reasons we're discontented with the subject of labor in our life and our work in our life and the things that we are to do is that we have the concept misshapen within our spiritual mind. Maybe one of the reasons we're dissatisfied because of the supposed lack of riches is because we have riches out of place. I want to share with you some verses of Scripture from the book of Proverbs tonight. And I want to do this basically in three main thoughts. I want you to notice with me, first of all, an absolute statement of biblical truth. We live in a world where nobody wants to have absolutes. They want some wriggle. They want some wiggle room to make it fit. Well, I think it ought to be this way. Well, folks, God doesn't give us wiggle room. He gives us truth. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 4 and 5. Labor not to be rich. That's not a suggestion. That is a definitive statement. Doesn't sound like what we hear a lot in the world today, does it? Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. The implication of that is that the wisdom of man is designed to elevate his riches. Everything he does, everything that he works at, is to produce riches. And if it doesn't produce those riches, then there's something wrong with the circumstance. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? It's going to go away. For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Folks, are you going to make the principal goal of your life that which is going to fly away? That seems to be the earthly wisdom, isn't it? We start training children today in earliest possible manner of how to... You need to get an education. Why do you need to get an... Oh, you can't get a good job. You can't make good money. The whole idea is everything we do is focused toward the attainment of riches. And yet, the statement of Bible truth is A... That ought not be the goal, because they vanish away. They do not last. And B, we are to labor not for them. We are to labor. Labor is not the problem. It's what we are laboring for. After God created man, God created all of the different elements that he describes for us in the beginning of the first chapter of Genesis. And then we're told he created man, male and female. Then in chapter 2 it's described for us how he did that. He proved to Adam that no animal beneath him was suitable as a mate for him, was suitable to fulfill his life and complete his life. Then God made a woman from the rib of Adam and brought it. And then he put the two of them together, and then he put them in the garden. But when he put them in the Garden of Eden, what did he put them in the Garden of Eden for? So they could just have nice cool walks in the evening? So they'd have a nice, beautiful place to live under. What did he put them in the garden for? In his innocency, in his state of innocency, Adam, and in her state of innocency, Eve. And both of them were put there in this garden to dress it and to keep it. God knew that man not only needed a mate, he needed a job. God had the perfect plan. The plan was that Adam and Eve would be involved in watching and experiencing the blessings that God had given them in that garden that was perfectly designed for them. But you see, in that state of innocency, man had a job to do. It wasn't to get rich. It was to be in dominion over the things that God had given him. Now, with the fall of man into sin, man's point of view seems to have shifted. Didn't take very long. But I want you to notice Solomon's statements regarding several verses. Look in Proverbs chapter 10, verses 15 and 16. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The rich man counts his riches as his fortress. Poor man recognizes his poverty because he doesn't have a fortress. But then notice the next verse. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. Okay, we were created to labor. We were created to labor in the blessings that God gives us. What's the difference between view of the work of the wicked, which goes to sin, and the work of the righteous, which tends to life. The difference is the point of view of understanding that God has given us His plan and His purpose, and we labor in His righteousness. Proverbs chapter 27, verses 23 and 24. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? Excuse me, I started reading in the middle of that. Go back to verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. Take care of what it is that God gives you. Well, He may give you a job that's making minimum wage. Take care of it. He may give you a job that's making a six-figure salary. Take care of it. But why is it that we have it? Because God has given us the blessing. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and herbs of the mountains are gathered. But it goes on to talk about the lambs, the goats. It talks about that replenishing that God gives. You see, folks, we need to understand that the opportunities we have in life are God's gift, God's blessings to us, God's gifts to us, and our satisfaction in life is to understand we labor to manage that which He's given us, and not with the single goal, I've got to get rich. I hear people talk about, oh, I want to make enough money, I can retire at 30. What are you going to do for the next 40 years of your life? Days of our life are 3 school years and 10. You're going to sit around and worry about if you're going to have enough money to make it to 70. You see, riches themselves are not the matter. The matter is the fruit of the labor that we do. Look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. In all labor, there is profit. There's something there in all the work that we do. It may not be riches, but there is a profit in it. The profit's not always a measurement of dollar and cents. The profit is, am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I producing what God wants me to produce? Am I giving to Him the glory for what He's giving me? In all labor, there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury, to poverty. We spend more time talking about what we don't have. In our wasting our time, we're tending or leading ourselves into a deeper hole. I can spend time trying to come up with some get-quick-rich scheme. And in the process, I dig myself into a deeper hole. You see, the faithfulness of our effort as stewards of what God has given us brings us in the profit. Interesting statement, Proverbs chapter 16. If you're to labor not for riches, what are you to labor for? How about if I tell you that the labor is to satisfy your own spirit? Proverbs chapter 16. Verse 26, interesting statement. He that laboreth, laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. Well, his mouth wants to eat. I don't understand that that's the full scope of that part of that statement. Our spirit that God created, our life that God is richly blessing, craves that labor which God wants us to do. My life is fulfilled in doing the labor that God gives me to do, not in getting rich. He that laboreth, laboreth for himself. Proverbs 18, verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. What's being satisfied? His belly. The very basic needs. As God meets the needs of his life, he's satisfied in those basic things rather than being dissatisfied because of what he doesn't think he has. Let me ask you a question. How rich is God? Think about that. Scripture says he owns the cattle on a thousand hills and the wealth in every mine, and he made it all for himself. And yet he's taken of what he made for his glory and gives to us. If he got it all, how likely is he to run out? If he provides for us our daily needs, how likely is he? Have you gone to a grocery store or to Walmart and walked down the aisle and just seen large spaces of empty shelves? I remember about a year and a half or so ago, you couldn't even find the most basic of things in many times. We all began to be conscious of what we might not have. I got news for you, folks. God's supply house is not going to run out. Now, he didn't promise me. He didn't promise you that he would give me either everything I wanted or as much as I could wrap my hands around. What he did promise to give me is my daily bread. That's not poverty. That's assurance. That's not lacking. That's confidence. Our natural desires are often the things which get to be the main picture in front of us. But Scripture tells us that our natural desires are satisfied by the fruits of our labor, our service itself. Because God's going to give us in that labor what we have need of. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 17. Didn't think that looked right. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 17. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. You see, if the object of our desires is the riches and what we can buy with them, then we'll never get to that point. Why? Because they fly away. If the object of our affection is the Lord who loves us and cares for us, then He'll provide. Oh, well, are you saying it's wrong to have money? No. What I'm saying is it's wrong to covet the money to the point that that becomes the goal. Let me ask you about a couple of people in the Bible. What about two men named Abraham and Lot? Remember, Abraham was Lot's uncle. Abraham had gone down into Egypt. When Abraham came out of Egypt, he and Lot both were wealthy men. Between them, they had more than what any small area of land. Why were they so suddenly so rich? Because God blessed their laborers. Why was it that Abraham looked and he said, told Lot, said, "You take your pick." And Lot says, "Oh, I like the bright lights in the big city. Give me Sodom and Gomorrah." Abraham says, "Okay, I'll take the dry side." God reminded him, "You got what you got now. Not because you were such a good businessman. You got what you got now because I gave it to you." So Lot lost all that he had, because he sunk it into the wrong piece of investment.
He sunk it into pleasure. He sank it into the appearance, and he lost it. Abraham, in his faithfulness, was able to continue to receive God's blessings. What about a man named Job? Here was a man who was wealthier than all of those that were around him, and yet he was a righteous man. Why? Because he wasn't doing it just to get rich. God blessed his labor. God gave it to him. God took it away from him, and then God gave him twice as much as he ever had. Where did it come from? It came from the hand of the Lord. How about a man named Solomon? Solomon was wise enough to know in his prayer, Lord, I've got a job to do and I need your wisdom to do it. And God said, I'll give you the wisdom and I'll give you more riches than anybody else has got. But it wasn't because Solomon worked for it. What I want you to see is when God blesses us to have wealth, having the wealth is not the problem. Having the difficulty comes when the wealth becomes our primary point of view. And the problem also comes in when we begin to see other people's wealth as a competition to us, and we've either got to outdo them or we've got to take it away from them so we can have it. Look in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 20 and 21. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. You ever notice what they say? Those that got money seem to attract other people around them. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. If we look down on someone because either of what they lack, or if we are covetous to the point that we work against them because they have something, we look at other people's wealth and it becomes a threat to us. What happens? He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. It's not good business. It's sin. Abraham, Job, many others that are named in the Bible gave away to others what they had, knowing that God would give them what they needed. Think about a man named Barzillai. Old man. David was being chased out of Jerusalem. He took from his own personal resources and carried and gave to the king. Gave him food, gave him supply. And yet when David tried to repay him, he said, no. You take somebody else and give it to them. I'll go to my place. I'm going home. Why? Because God had provided for him before, and you've got to provide for him again. You see, folks, when we look at our life and the labor of our life, God is the real issue. God is the provider is the real issue. Proverbs 19, verse 14. Houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Who is our Father that gives us an inheritance? It's from Him. We may not have houses and land and riches, but what we do have comes from the Lord. Have you ever thought about the goal of your life being that which is convenient for you? Look in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. Labor in itself is a satisfaction for our spirit. How we view others in their wealth or in the use of ours is important in God's sight. But what's convenient for us? Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of God in vain. Feed me with that which is convenient for me. Okay. What does that mean? We think of convenience, it'd be something that's easy. Something that's quick. Running a convenience store. Close by, don't take very long. They got most of what I need. Folks, that's not what the word that's translated convenient means at all. It means that which is an appointment. That which is appointed unto me. Lord, feed me with that which you give me. If I have poverty, then I behave wrongly. If I get rich, I may become vain and forget about the Lord who gave it to me. Lord, help me understand you, by your grace and by your mercy, appoint to me that which you know that I need. You remember that the king, King David, and others that are spoken of in the Bible, they had those servants, those valiant men, and they would appoint to all of their household those things that cared for them, and they would give it to them each day. They would give it to them as they were in battle. They would give it to them as they were in need. And the source came from the king himself. And the king would appoint their upkeep. Folks, what I want you to understand tonight, that when Solomon prayed that God would give him that which was convenient, give him that, Lord. Give me that, Lord, which you appoint for me day by day in my life, and help me to understand that you give me what I need to be contented with that. I don't lack. If I become like the man in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 tells us a story of a man who came to Jesus. Verse 13, man came to him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. You tell my brother that he's got to give me part of what he's got. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said to them, Take heed, beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now he told him a parable. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I've got no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. The idea of take thine ease is you don't have to work anymore. God said to him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. That whole parable is prefaced in that statement that said, the abundance of a man's life a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. You see, our life consists primarily in our relationship with the Lord. That's where the source comes from. That's where the source of our life itself comes from. That's where the source of provision comes from. That's where the source of our care comes from. God gave us a job to do. God gave us a work to do. God never promised us that He'd give us enough that we could be sure we could live on it for 40 years. What He says is, I'll give you everything you need today. Well, is it wrong to plan to retire? Only if it becomes such an obsession to you that you miss the point of the service of the Lord to His glory. That you miss the point of being able to give away to someone else in need, knowing that Jesus said, cast your bread upon the water. It'll come back to you not many days hence. See, folks, wealth in itself is not the issue. Our use of the wealth that God gives us is. Riches is not the issue. The joy of our life is. The value of our life is. Proverbs said, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Well, if I cease from my own wisdom, what wisdom am I going to depend upon? The perfect wisdom of God. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. What are we going to set our eyes on? Are we going to labor for that which satisfies our soul, which is God's design? Or are we going to look for something that we're going to be disappointed in because they're going to fly away anyway? May God bless us to know, first of all, to know what He has for us to do. To know what He wants me to be. What's He equipped me to be? What has He wired me to be? What is He preparing me to be in my life? When I understand what that is, to know that He has me there to be His servant. And to know that the abundance of my life consists in my relationship with Him. May the Lord bless us to labor for that which God has us here to labor for.